And now, keep up the excitement, because guess who's on the phone? SMH writer Andrew Webster. Good morning, Webby.
Good morning. Are you excited that I'm on?
I'm pumped.
Oh, that'll go.
Especially because the Roosters got the win last night.
Oh, are you kidding? Thanks for turning the knife. The Dragons, the second week in a row, they've showed a fair bit of spirit, a fair bit of heart, but again, outclassed by a better opponent with the Roosters, who were missing a third of their salary cap. Mm. Pretty hard to believe that they can miss a third of their salary cap and still produce a tradesman-like performance as that. So, interesting to see when old Sonny Bill gets into the fray after he comes out of self-isolation.
Mm. I had a mate of mine yesterday saying, who's going to win the Wyong versus the Dragons clash? Because they Roosters had that many players out. Yeah.
Well, you look at it, they're missing Corner, Crichton, Warrior Hargraves, Radley, Verrills, Tupu, and the Morris twins.
Now,
you take that amount of talent out of any team, they're going to struggle to win. But you know they just keep on keeping on, and Luke Keary just shows why he will be the New South Wales number six when that team is selected. It seems like an eternity away in November.
Yeah, and the other one, Webby, that you know we're celebrating, I guess, his 300th game last night in Mitch Orbison. I think last night is a great example of what a player like him has done for this club over such a long period of time, where so many greats are out, yet he steps up, plays his role. I've no doubt there's a leadership role that he plays now at that club as well. And it's another reason I think players like Mitch don't get enough credit. And we really should celebrate, you know, his performance and his success over a long period of time.
100%, Michael. He's been one of the great clubmen over the years, only the third Roosters player to go past 300. The reverence that he's held in at the Roosters is there for all to see anytime you're around that club. He's just the glue. I was with the Roosters at the World Club Challenge earlier this year. You could just see how much all those younger players look after him. And I can't imagine him not playing or not being in a Roosters team. He's filled so many different roles. He's been so versatile, whether it's in the back row or the back line. He's done a job for so many different coaches over the years. Yeah. At that club, and he's one of the great clubmen. Chris Lawrence, 250 games tomorrow as well. So, yeah, in a brutal game of rugby league, see players like this continuing on for a long period of time. But it's a testament to their professionalism, I reckon.
Yeah, you're exactly right there, Webby. I'll tell you what, though, the Dragons could have used Paul Vaughan last night. What are your thoughts on him breaking biosecurity protocols?
Well, I'll give Paul Vaughan his due. At least he put his hand up and admitted that he'd made a mistake. Wayne Bennett, who is a senior coach who's 70 years of age and on the project of Polo Committee, couldn't bring himself to say that he'd made it. He was like Fonzie. He couldn't say he was wrong. In his Zoom call with reporters yesterday, pretty disappointing to see. And it undermines all the good work that so many of the league players and coaches and all the support staff have been doing to get the competition back on the road. I thought it was really frightening to hear Bennett say that, you know, it's not the first time that he did it, that he didn't think he had done something wrong. And he probably hasn't. Like, it's not the biggest crime of the century, but, you know, he's on the project of Polo Committee. I was more concerned with the lack of sanctioning that's come down from the head office, to be perfectly honest. The press release lobbed at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. They're both Bennett and Vaughan are going to be isolating for 14 days. And the initial line out of head office was that was what the sanction was, which I don't really think is right, because if you cast your mind back to June, Aidan Tolman from the Bulldogs had to sit out 14 days on the sidelines because his child attended a school where a teacher had tested positive for COVID-19, so he had to sit out for 14 days. Ever since then, and there's been a huge backlash from other people in the game, from other clubs, from other coaches, from other chief executives and certain members of the media, and all of a sudden they've put out a line, the NRL, that they're going to look at further sanctions. And I think it should happen. I think Bennett in particular should be sanctioned for this, because he should know better. He should be held to a higher account. And, I thought just the way that he dismissed any questions about it yesterday was pretty ordinary.
Yeah, we got a couple of text messages in, Webby, asking about why wouldn't the players have to isolate if they've come into contact with Wayne Bennett after he's been to that restaurant?
I'm not entirely sure. I'm assuming that he'd be getting his his COVID test back sometime this morning. If it comes back positive, then we've got a whole range of issues about that game against Brisbane tonight. Obviously, it obviously won't go ahead. I'm not entirely sure why those players wouldn't be, because he went out and trained with them. He went out and trained with them, and then he held his press conference. Whereas the like Aidan Tolman got dragged off the field straight away, and other players who were in those certain Southwest Sydney hotspots, they also got dragged off the field straight away. So I don't really have the answer to that.
And Webby, obviously Wayne Bennett's been in the press this week having his argy-bargy with Anthony Seibold. He's now saying, I didn't knife him. It was the opposite.
Well, I think it's getting a little bit boring. Talk about kicking a bloke and a club while it's down. Like the pylon from Wayne Bennett and other former Broncos into Anthony Seibold. Okay, they're not playing great. And you can question the circumstances in which Anthony Seibold went to left South and went to the Broncos. But I just think that the way that Bennett has been stirring all this up in a week when his team, I know they beat the Dragons last Thursday, but they haven't been travelling that well. There's all sorts of pressure on that team to get going and cement themselves in the eight, let alone try and make the four. And I just thought it was another great ploy from Bennett to try and motivate his players as if to say that Anthony Seibold was leaving you no matter what. And he's done it for the last two years, Bennett, ever since he and Anthony Seibold swapped. He keeps making this comment, Wayne Bennett, that he was determined to coach at the Broncos in 2019. And see, that's just a fallacy, because he shook hands on a deal with Phil Gould to join Penrith in 2019. So Wayne's been taking the moral high ground with Anthony Seibold, but he's been on a bit of shaky moral high ground himself. So it's all fun and games. But maybe Wayne should have been spending more time reading the COVID-19 protocols instead of trying to slip the boot into old Anthony Seibold. I'm giving it to him.
Oh, Webby, I like it. Have some of that. Webby, what about Nathan Brown heading to the Warriors? Have you got confirmation there?
I haven't got confirmation yet. It's funny because Nathan Brown had no interest in this job. I think he was more keen on the North Queensland job. But I think Todd Payton is the $1.04 favourite to get that position. I'm not entirely sure if Nathan Brown has got it yet. I know that there's some players that at other clubs that the Warriors are speaking to, and they've as late as yesterday, and they hadn't said that Nathan Brown would definitely be the coach next year. There's a school of thought at the Warriors that they might even put an assistant coach in, like a Justin Morgan, who's highly regarded in that club, for 1 year, and then they might go after a Bennett or a Bellamy or even a Michael Maguire. So I don't think it's over the line yet, but it sort of all came about very quickly last night, didn't it? I spoke to Gus yesterday, the great Phil Gould, who seems to be getting more jobs.
I was going to say, how many jobs has the great Gus got? It's unbelievable.
He's got Hughes left, right and centre. Right? If you need a snip till payday, I would be going to Gus. Because he's pretty flush at the moment with job offers. So it depends on whether he wants to take them or not. He was typically Gus-like and cryptic and cagey and said that he had spoken to them, but they hadn't given him a job description yet, and it'd be a good job, but it's got its problems. But I think it would be a great job. So take out of that what you will. I think it's probably...
Hey, Webby, can I ask, what do you reckon Gus really wants to do? Does he... Do you reckon he'd coach again?
Gus Gould? How am I going to do that?
In all honesty, do you reckon he would love to coach again?
You know, Blodge, I've been asking Gus this for years. I don't think he would.
Right.
I just think he thinks the game's gone. I don't think he understands. I think he said this on the record to me. When he was at Penrith, he felt a real disconnect between when he was last involved as a coach or last involved with the Roosters, and then when he came to Penrith, he thought the modern-day player had just become too different. I don't think the technicalities of the game have gone past him, but I think how to coach younger blokes, I think he would struggle with that. He'd be great in the head of football role.
Yep.
But the role they're talking about in the Warriors, at the Warriors, is pathways. Now, he did definitely put in his accreditation last week to be a player agent, and under the rules, he can't be involved in the club in that capacity. So we'll see how that all works out.
Yeah,
very complicated. But please never ask me to go into Gus's mind.
No. I wouldn't either, but I reckon, I don't know, he always just strikes me as someone that just would love to get back into it. And I think he'd be great, but whether he wants to do it. But every time I hear him in, you know, there's this job and that job, I always think that I reckon the coaching one is the one that he wants. But
I don't know. I think it'd depend on who would be his assistants around him.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, it'd be a hell of a story if it happened.
Oh, wouldn't it what?
Imagine the press conferences. Good fun.
Oh, the great Augustus. Now, what about Desi Hasler? 400 games in charge of the NRL.
Unbelievably kept it. To use a Des term, he was flying under the radar with that statistic, wasn't he? He didn't really get out until the last couple of days. Des is one of my favourite people in the game. I've never seen someone so passionate. I think he'd be up there with Ricky Stewart in terms of coaches when it comes to defending his players right to the very end. They could head high someone on the field, and it'll be the clearer and sent off, and Des will say that was hit him around the chest. He is so loyal to those players that are under him, and that's why they love him so much, and that's why they get up for him. But my favourite Des Hasler story, I might have said it on this show before, but I have to say it. So this is great. We all know how frugal he is with his money. There's this great Brookvale Oval story about him as a player coming off at halftime, and he's running off the field, and he's running up through the cage there, up into the stand, and he spots a 50 cent piece, and he stops, turns around, picks it up, puts it in his pocket, runs in for half time. Now, I wrote that story, and I got a call, angry call from Des one morning, and he said, another Webster beat up. I went, oh God, sorry, Des. He said, it was a gold coin. Good luck. Well done, Des. 400 games.
Thanks, Webby. Have a fantastic weekend. We'll speak to you next week.
Good on you guys. See ya.